Merhaba from BA. This is a Rorschach Turkey update from the 2nd of December 2025. A quick summary of what's going down in Turkey. On Wednesday the 26th, Fatih Altaylı, a veteran journalist, was sentenced to 4 years and 2 months in prison. A court convicted Altaylı over comments on his YouTube channel that prosecutors said amounted to threats against President Erdogan. Altaylı denied the charges and will appeal, but judges ordered him to remain in custody pending that appeal. Rights groups and international press observers say the verdict deepens concern about shrinking space for independent voices in Turkey. The case also pushed the issue of social media and journalism on these platforms, where the trial trended nationwide. Meanwhile, on Tuesday the 25th, Turkish security forces detained 3 suspects in Istanbul during an operation led by the National Intelligence Organization and provincial police. The suspects, who allegedly monitored senior figures in Turkey's defense sector, had used Turkish phone lines and fake online identities to gather personal and professional data from foreign ministry linked numbers and defense industry executives. Officials said 1 additional suspect remains abroad under a warrant. Early reports connected the group to United Arab Emirates intelligence, but prosecutors later stated that no foreign state link has been formally established and the investigation continues on charges of political and military espionage. The case drew attention on social media, where users highlighted growing concerns about cyber infiltration targeting Turkey's strategic industries. Speaking of detentions, on Monday the 1st of December, Ali Yerlikaya, the interior minister, announced that 12 fugitives wanted under international red notices have been arrested abroad and brought back to Turkey. He said the arrests came after coordinated work by police units, including Interpol, Europol, narcotics control bodies, cybercrime and organized crime departments, together with partner law enforcement agencies in 4 countries, Georgia, Germany, Austria, and France. The suspects face a wide range of charges such as drug trafficking, fraud, robbery, illegal firearms possession, forgery, and even intentional homicide. Yerlikaya said the operation shows Turkey's determination to track fugitives internationally and deliver justice regardless of where they hide. In energy news, on Saturday the 29th, Alparslan Bayraktar, the Energy and Natural Resources Minister, reported that liquefied natural gas now supplies almost half of Turkey's natural gas demand. He said Turkey's 5 LNG facilities, 2 land terminals and 3 floating storage and regasification units raised nationwide regasification capacity from around 34 million to nearly 161 million cubic meters per day since 2016. This expansion matters because daily winter consumption can peak at roughly 330 million cubic meters. Bayraktar said that underground storage sites are now filled to capacity for winter. He described the shift as a strategic effort to diversify suppliers, reduce dependence on pipeline routes, and stabilize prices during global energy volatility. Analysts say strengthened LNG capacity also improves the country's bargaining power in regional energy markets. Next up, Istanbul University students staged protest against a planned anti-LGBTQ+ event. Students called out the event as part of a wider wave of state-aligned rhetoric targeting LGBTQ+ community and women. Demonstrators demanded safe campuses and protested what they described as creeping hostility in public institutions. The protest drew attention across social media and prompted campus security responses that added fuel to the online debate. Observers said the incident is another flashpoint in a national conversation over rights, the role of universities, and how public events are policed. On Monday, the 1st of December, reports in the central city of Kutahya showed that Zse, a former worker for the ruling Justice and Development Party, or AKP, is pursuing a harassment complaint after months of pressure during and after the 2024 local election period. She said that when she worked alone at the party's campaign stand, She faced repeated harassment from members of the AKP and the ultra-nationalist Nationalist Movement Party. She reported the situation to party officials several times, but said no steps were taken. She later described another harassment she experienced, naming an AKP municipal council member who allegedly sent her explicit messages and threatened her job. She said that instead of support, she faced pressure, removal from party duties, and attempts to discredit her, raising broader concerns about internal party culture and the challenges faced by women in politics. Also on Monday, reports from the southern cities of Bitlis and Diyarbakir showed that Ministry of Education officials told female high school students attending ministry seminars that women should not work and that a woman's duty is to serve her family. The meetings brought together thousands of 10th and 11th grade students from across Turkey. One student openly objected, saying women should decide for themselves whether to work or stay home. An education union representative said the events were held behind closed doors, officials collected students' phones, and speakers used language critical of the Republic and the reforms of Atatürk, the country's founder. She added that the deputy minister also took part in the seminars and accused the ministry of promoting views that undermine women's rights and equality. On that note about education, on Monday the 1st, Ilke Sitir's report from Nefes News outlet showed growing frustration among university students who say they cannot cover basic living costs and are now considering opportunities abroad. The story focused on Eda Altun, a university student who said that the 3,000 lira, $70 student loan she received from the state barely lasts 2 weeks. She explained that even a meal at the school cafeteria costs around 40 lira, about $1, making 3 daily meals impossible on her budget. She said students constantly look for ways to get through the day and she now follows every chance to move abroad in hopes of a more stable life. Another student said students struggle during what should be their most productive years. She added that she sometimes wants to leave Turkey but feels torn because she grew up there and wants to contribute to her country. Check out the article in Turkish with the link in the show notes. Speaking of budgets, on Monday the 1st, new data showed that Turkey's culture spending reached 408 billion liras, which is about $13.5 billion in 2024, yet culture still made up under 1% of the economy. The main concern was a jump in cultural imports, which increased 160% to nearly $7.5 billion, signaling growing dependence on foreign products. Government spending formed almost half of all cultural expenses, rising to 200 billion lira, around $6.5 billion, mostly for museums, archaeological sites, and heritage projects. Household spending also increased sharply, especially on tech equipment, cultural services, and books. In unrelated news, on Wednesday the 26th, Swatch workers across Turkey ended a two-week strike after securing a union-brokered deal that reshapes pay and conditions. Staff had demanded roughly a 30% wage rise, clearer bonus rules, and shorter working hours, saying their pay no longer matched annual inflation, which sits near 33%. Swatch had first offered a 25% increase for store staff and a 5-15% raise for office workers, but the Coop East Union rejected it, saying it wasn't enough. The final agreement lowers weekly hours to 40 and guarantees 2 full days off, along with broader social benefits. Union leaders described the deal as a landmark for mall retail workers and said it could push other brands to review their wage policies ahead of next year's price pressures. Finally, on Tuesday the 2nd, a lawmaker from the main opposition Republican People's Party submitted a detailed parliamentary question demanding clarity on repeated delays and soaring costs for the high-speed rail project linking Bursa and Osmaneli, both in the northwest. The project, first drafted in 2016, has seen its route changed 5 times by 2021. Initial costs at the first tender stood at 2.5 billion lira, about $59 million. After cancellation, The project was re-tendered in 2020 for over 9 billion lira, about $221 million. The lawmaker asked the Ministry of Transport to publish how many times costs increased and whether the project can still meet its deadlines. He argued that public transparency is essential when public funds are used. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Want to go on a free trip to Lisbon? All you need to do is check out our new, very cool t-shirts, create a personal collection, and sell as many t-shirts as you can with a discount code we'll give you. The person who sells the most t-shirts with their discount code by Christmas Day will enjoy beautiful Portugal in April. Check out the link in the show notes. Hofstra Kalin.